Thank you so much, Brian. Well, Radio Survivor can be found online at radiosurvivor.com. We're a podcast where you can subscribe and listen.
Yes, sir, it's your boy, Big Vern. You're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. You heard?
Honey, did you know the Rolif Jansen Community Library serves Ankrum, Copaic, and Hillsdale?
As a matter of fact, I did know that. Ask me another.
Did you know that the Rodan Library has thousands of books, audiobooks, DVDs, and music CDs you can enjoy for free?
Yep, I knew that too.
Did you know that the Rodan Library puts on dozens of special programs like concerts and lectures, story time for kids, and seminars on computer skills and estate planning?
Uh-huh.
Well, Smarty Pants, is there anything about the Rodan Library you don't know?
Yeah, how do they get all that great stuff done with just three employees?
It's all about the volunteers. The library depends on volunteers for everything from working the circulation desk to staffing special events. They can always use more help.
Sounds like fun. How can I become a volunteer?
Just go to the library's website at rojanlibrary.org and click on the volunteer tab.
Hey, I knew that.
Sure you did.
Turn out for Wave Farms WGXE 90.7 FM's karaoke contest fundraiser at Half Moon in Hudson on Friday, May 10th. The evening will be hosted by karaoke Amanda of WGXC show Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda, with proceeds from ticket sales benefiting WGXC. The contest's theme is communication, so all songs related to dialing, radio, phone, internet, fax, and more are eligible. Choose your tune and sing it for our guest judges Ariel and Gloria of WGXC show Las Brujas Bilingües, and DJ Patty Boom of WGXC show Vinyl Freedom to win prizes. Prizes include tickets to the Negative Land and Sue C., Matmos, and Rodney Allen Greenblatt show at the Greenville Drive-In and other goodies. Doors are open at 7 p.m. and karaoke contest begins at 8 p.m. If you can't turn out in person, tune in for a live broadcast of the event on the FM dial or online. For more information, visit the community calendar at wavefarm.org. WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by The Country Shepherd, a construction consultation and client representation service for custom residential projects and maintenance. The Country Shepherd advises clients on every element of their renovation, ground up build or remodel, from hiring the right craftsmen to managing timelines to locating the exact materials that their clients require. Founder Jeff Wilcox has been building custom residences since 1990 in New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, California, and Italy. For more information, visit thecountryshepherd.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Anna Koval of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Campus crackdowns ignite Gaza solidarity movement. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. What starts here changes the world. It starts with you and what you do each day. So reads an encouraging sign that greets students at the University of Texas, Austin. The university's actions tell a different story. A photo shared on social media this week shows the sign in front of a row of state troopers in riot gear. They assembled to disperse students protesting Israel's assault on Gaza. Police, some armed with semi-automatic rifles, some mounted on horseback, proceeded to violently arrest at least 50 people, including a journalist. The UT protest was part of a student uprising sweeping campuses nationally, inspired by a Palestinian solidarity encampment at Columbia University in New York City. Columbia President Manoush Shafiq's mishandling of that peaceful encampment has sparked the protest movement's momentum. The encampment followed months of anti-war protests following Hamas's October 7th attack on Israel and Israel's relentless bombing and ground invasion of Gaza. As President Shafik appeared before a Republican-controlled congressional House committee last week, where Columbia was accused of tolerating widespread anti-Semitism on campus, scores of students, many of them Jewish, pitched tents and a banner reading Gaza Solidarity Encampment. Later that night, President Shafik called in the New York police, saying the protesters were a clear and present danger. While the police responded, arresting over 100 students, Police Chief John Chell described the protesters as peaceful and cooperative. After authorities dismantled the initial camp, more students quickly established a new one, which remains standing as this goes to press. Following Columbia's violent response, student groups across the nation are launching Palestine solidarity encampments of their own, from Harvard, Tufts, and Emerson in Greater Boston to Emory in Atlanta, Princeton, Cornell, UC Berkeley, Cal Poly Humboldt in Northern California, and at FIT, the Fashion Institute of Technology in Midtown Manhattan, to name just a few. At Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island, students set up tents chanting, "From Columbia to Brown, we will not let Gaza down." It was last November when Palestinian-American Brown University student Hisham Ortani was shot with two of his friends while visiting his grandmother in Burlington, Vermont for Thanksgiving. He remains paralyzed. It's not surprising that Columbia was the locus of solidarity. In April 1968, students occupied buildings on campus to protest the Vietnam War, as well as Columbia's plans to build a gymnasium in the largely black adjoining neighborhood of Harlem, which they called Jim Crow. Columbia officials summoned the NYPD then, too. Over 700 people were arrested. Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez was one of the student organizers of the 1968 Columbia occupation. He recalled those events this week, 56 years later, speaking on Democracy Now!
The Columbia strike unfolded over several weeks. The first week was the week of the occupation, but because of the brutality of the attacks by the police, as you said, more than 150 people were hospitalized the night of April 30th. It led to a massive strike of the entire university. Over 10,000 students shut the university down for the rest of the semester.
Juan compared Columbia's response then and now.
We occupied buildings. We did not allow classes to go forward in 1968, but classes were going forward. The students were camped out peacefully on the lawn. So the disproportionate nature of the response of the university, the quickness with which it responded without even consulting or listening to the faculty is really astounding.
The 1968 Columbia crackdown preceded the Chicago Democratic National Convention by 3 months. The DNC will be in Chicago again in just over 3 months. Columbia grad student Sarah King was arrested at the initial encampment and has since been suspended and banned from campus.
The camp itself is very beautiful. It's been a real place of interfaith celebration and solidarity in support of the people of Gaza, who are now at over 200 days of genocide.
She said on Democracy Now!, King, who is Jewish, responded to accusations that the protests are anti-Semitic.
The worst prosecution that the Jewish students on campus are facing is from Columbia University. We were disproportionately banned by Columbia because so many of us are part of the Gaza Solidarity Encampment trying to prevent a genocide in our name.
On Wednesday, President Biden signed into law a $95 billion military aid package for Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel, with $26 billion designated for Israel.
The universities across America have to realize that the young people of this country do not support the constant wars, that are imperial wars that our government is either participating in or funding, and that something has to change.
Juan Gonzalez concluded. What for the University of Texas is a slogan, "What starts here changes the world," is quickly becoming, for thousands of students across the country, a call to action, demanding peace in Gaza. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio.
From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Nick Zakos has been reinstated as Hudson Youth Director, according to a statement issued by Mayor Rick Rector November 7th. The decision came less than a week after Rector demoted Zakos to Recreation Attendant Level 4. The mayor declined to provide specific reasons for the demotion, citing personal reasons. The mayor said reinstating Zakos was the result of, and I quote, a lengthy discussion, end quote, with Youth Commissioner Mark Bryant in the wake of the massive public outcry in reaction to the demotion. Rector said in a statement, and I quote, it is my understanding that both Mark and Nick have agreed to work closer together in the administration and management of the department and have determined specific areas of needed improvement, end quote. Rector failed to provide an explanation for the commissioner's or the mayor's change of heart. First Ward Alderman Kamal Johnson, chairman of the Common Council Youth Education, Seniors, and Recreation Committee, said he believes the decision was made in response to the public support for Zakos. The reinstatement was made effective November 7th. Editor's note, Johnson is an active WGXC programmer, and you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Sarah Tapton is reporting for Columbia Green Media on the public hearing held November 5th on the proposed $119 million 2019 Green County budget. The proposed budget represents more than a 5% increase in spending over the current year. A presentation by Green County Administrator Sean Groden was followed by public comment. Scott Myers of Catskill was the first to take the floor, and he focused his comments on the planned $39 million jail facility. Although New Baltimore Representative Republican Pat Linger attempted to silence Myers on the subject of the jail, Myers made the point that the county's decision to build a new lockup in Coxsackie was fiscally irresponsible. Robert Janikowski of Tannersville also felt the jail was relevant to the budget. He said, and I quote, "I'm interested in how the county invests this money. I think the jail is at the bottom of the list of what the county should invest in," end quote. The controversial jail bond approved by the full legislature in September will contribute $300,000 to the county's debt service in 2019, according to the budget document. Janikowski also said the effort to maintain corrections jobs was misplaced. He proposed an amendment to the budget calling for a new look at alternatives to incarceration. Phoebe Potter of Westkill also voiced her support for an exploration of ATI options. Joe Bullock of Catskill said he was concerned that the county was overspending. Bullock asked, and I quote, "This budget is not sustainable. People can't afford to live here and start businesses. This county isn't what it used to be. Why do we need this government for 40,000 people?" End quote. The budget goes to the full legislature 6 p.m. Wednesday, November 7th at the County Office Building, 411 Main Street in Catskill. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Veterans Day is an official public holiday observed November 11th to honor military veterans, and Bill Williams has a rundown at the WCTW-FM website of some of the programs planned for the next 5 days to honor area veterans. Veterans Lunch, November 8th, sponsored by Questar 3, annual event at the Education Center on Route 66 in Greenport. There are two seatings at 11 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. Attendees can bring a guest. Information at 518-828-4157. Veterans Breakfast, November 8th, sponsored by the Hudson High School Kindness Club. The event is open to all area veterans. It takes place in the school library from 9 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. Information at 518-469-3562. A veteran's ceremony and lunch, November 8th, at Columbia Green Community College. The ceremony takes place in the Arts Center Theater at 11 a.m. Lunch is served in the student dining hall from 12:30 p.m. to 2 p.m. All veterans are welcome. Veterans Day Assembly, November 9th, at Catskill High School. Performances by the high school band, concert, chorus, and the Treveliers. The event is held in the high school auditorium beginning at 9 a.m. Refreshments will be served. All veterans are welcome. Veterans Dinner, November 10th, presented by the American Legion Post 252. Spaghetti dinner for all area veterans and a guest at the Mellonville Firehouse on County Route 9 beginning at 12:30 p.m. Information is at 518-672-4757. Veterans Assistance Day, November 10th, hosted by the Hudson Elks Lodge. Organizations will be on hand to help with housing, employment, and medical issues from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m., dinner and music until 8 p.m. Information at 518-828-9059. Veterans Breakfast, November 11th, at the Catskill Elks Lodge from 9 a.m. to noon. The lodge is located on North Jefferson Avenue in Catskill. And of Hudson's Veterans Day Parade, November 11th. The annual event begins at 10:15 a.m. with the laying of a wreath at the 7th Street Park. The parade steps off from the park, continuing down Warren Street to 4th Street and over to the Columbia County Courthouse. Following the ceremony at the courthouse, the Hudson Salvation Army will serve lunch to veterans at the former St. Mary's School located at Allen Street and 3rd Streets. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
This is Gregory Whitehead with Project Jericho.
And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns passed on before the Lord, and blew with the trumpets. Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Institute for National Security Studies. Acoustic bullets. High power, very low frequency waves emitted from 1 to 2 meter dishes results in blunt object trauma from waves generated in front of target. Effects range from discomfort to death. A Russian device that can propel a 10 sonic hertz bullet the size of a baseball hundreds of yards is thought to exist.
And the walls came tumbling
down. Walter Manley, and I am the living spirit of the Jericho Institute, where we use sound creatively in the production of non-lethal weapons designed to save lives by changing the hearts and minds of our adversaries. During the Vietnam War, we still confused sonic power with high volume. For example, in the so-called urban funk campaign, where we mounted supersized oscillators onto attack helicopters and blasted Victor Charlie with heavy metal at around 120 dB. We called that weapon the Curdler, and it was a very primitive system. But we also used high-frequency nighttime wailing sounds in a weapon we called the Wandering Ghost, intended to spook the Viet Cong by playing on certain Buddhist beliefs. And that weapon was a big step forward, because we came to realize there is no sound more powerful than the one that conquers your true heart with deep vibrations.
The sound of the shofar, which is a purified sound, because the priests who blew the horns had been purified. And so in blowing that horn, They have something of that sacred wind of God, ruach, I think is the Hebrew word, with which God breathed the life into Adam. So once you've harnessed the power of God through the purity of the priests, there's no telling what power might come out of it. And the power to knock down an adversary's city wall seems small compared to the things that might be done by the might of God.
Deference tones. Devices which can project a voice or other sound to a particular location. The resulting sound can only be heard in that location.
This is Bill Arkin. I'm NBC News military analyst, newspaper columnist, and author of the forthcoming book, Codenames, Deciphering U.S. Military Plans and Operations in the 9/11 World. Proponents of acoustic weapons would say to you that they are as old as biblical times. But let's be real. These are highly engineered, modern digital weapons that take advantage of our greater knowledge both of the workings of the human ear and the human brain, as well as make use of sophisticated technologies to be able to project sound both over long distances and also over incredible decibel levels. And I don't think there's any real relationship between the weapons which are being developed today and those that existed in biblical times. But I think that the reference to that is to it's at least suggest that the use of sound is something that is itself as old as war.
Polysound, loud music used by American forces to drive Noriega from the Vatican Embassy.
Here at the Jericho Institute, ultimately, what we are talking about is a weapon that uses subharmonic infrasound, amplified by the power of evangelical Christian faith, to summon and deploy a voice that sounds like it's coming from right inside your head, but also sounds like it is coming from everywhere else. A voice that comes from everywhere and nowhere, from everyone and no one. And when you hear it, you will obey, no matter what it says, because the real weapon that brought down those walls of Jericho was the voice of God.
From the early origins of Western civilization, sound is closely associated with magic. Much of this is forgotten, or nearly forgotten. One well-known surviving example is the magical incantation, Abracadabra. The point here is that the widespread belief is that the right vocal utterance can bring about some physical manifestation or life or even bring the universe into existence. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, which says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." The interesting thing is that he had to create light. He didn't have to create sound. Sound was pre-existing. This continues with the creation of Adam in Genesis 2, verse 7, which in my translation said, "Then the Lord breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." But if you look at the Targum, that translates the phrase a living soul as a speaking spirit. So my point here is to connect sound with breath and with wind and with spirit. And it's interesting to me that the Hebrew word for breath and wind and spirit is the same, ruach. That idea of sound and magic continues in religion today because many religious people believe that prayers uttered aloud have magical powers to influence life and even to change the course of history.
And the walls came tumbling down.
Thank you.
the development of modern exotic weaponry, those weapons in the areas of the new physical principles of microwaves, lasers, and acoustic beams, began sometime after the end of Desert Storm, the first Gulf War, an era where it was pretty clear that peacekeeping was going to be a major function of the Western militaries. And there was a recognition that the tools were not available in order to do those jobs. If somehow non-lethal weapons could be developed that would enhance the ability of soldiers to conduct peacekeeping operations, then the notion was that certainly those weapons should be developed and should be deployed.
True sound of all true sounds. True voice of all true voices. True God of all true gods. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord,
hear our prayer. I'm troubled by two aspects. One, that there is a suggestion that the introduction of this kind of exotic weaponry is somehow going to change the nature of warfare, somehow be able to leapfrog over some of the immutable rules of warfare. I think that kind of thinking, the shock and awe thinking, if you will, is what brought us to where we are today in Iraq. That there's a silver bullet, that we're going to win quickly, we're going to win so overwhelmingly, we're going to employ our high technology in such a way that the rules of warfare are going to be set aside.
And they shall know for all time the true voice of the one true king. Lord, hear our prayer.
There has been a strong push to develop some kind of a means of protecting sensitive installations, nuclear weapons bunkers, for instance.
Squawk box, crowd dispersal weapon, field tested by the British Army in Ireland in 1973.
By placing a very powerful acoustic alarm, if you will, inside of a nuclear weapons bunker, one that is capable of causing such excruciating pain.
It produces giddiness, nausea, or fainting.
So excruciating that you would not be able to penetrate the area that was being protected.
The beam is so small that it can be directed at specific individuals.
At the Jericho Institute, we like to think of America's deep and abiding Christian faith as one of our most strategically potent natural resources. We have extensive prayer networks throughout the Bible Belt and elsewhere, and our objective is to synchronize the latent vibrational power of these faith networks with an infrasonic sound that formally replicates the voice of God in terms of its frequency range and overall acoustic envelope. We call this process charging the airspace, a process that resembles rubbing on the magic bottle until the genie comes out. Ladies and gentlemen, God is there to hear our prayer. Now it is true that the previous assumption was that God had to make the first move from an acoustical perspective, as in, for example, when he says, "Let there be light." And there was light. But we believe that if we can create the right acoustic and provide the appropriate vibrational context, it will be possible to actually produce the voice of God in a faith-based conflict whereby God is on our side.
When Joshua's priests marched around Jericho blowing their shofars, I believe they were harnessing God's power. They were transforming it into a frightful military weapon through the purity of the priests. And Joshua could harness his power, part of the frightful secret workings of this weapon. It was like ancient magic, not so different from the secret of the atomic bomb itself. the workings of particle physicists are often seen as a modern extension of alchemy, and scientists could be seen as the modern priests who manipulate these mysterious great powers.
Sound source. Infrasound from nonlinear superposition of two ultrasound beams. Effects. Intolerable sensations. Targets. Riot control. Sound source. Very low frequency noise. Effects. Disorientation. Vomiting fits. Bowel spasms. Uncontrollable defecation. Targets. Enemy troops.
Yes, I'm excited. I'm excited because it appears that we may get a chance to test our system real soon. And it turns out this test may take place not far from those old walls at Jericho.
The troubling aspect to me of these sonic weapons, acoustic weapons, sound weapons, and this type of exotica is that there is also a contention on the part of the proponents that the physical principles associated with the application of the weaponry needs to be secret because countermeasures could be developed.
We are at the dawn of a new era for military history, marked by the dominance of a weapon system based on the most powerful sound in the universe. Joshua shouted, "Glory!" And the walls came tumbling down.
Most of these programs are rather elliptical and vaporous, difficult to grasp onto, difficult to get a lot of detail about. And that makes it very difficult then, therefore, to assess whether or not they indeed, well, whether they work. And then on the other hand, what kind of adverse humanitarian impact they would have if they were employed in a widespread way on the battlefield.
True sound of all true sounds, true voice of all true voices, true God of all true gods. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Execute your absolute command, which is our absolute convocation. Your will, which is our will. Your eternal sounding, which is our eternal call. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We who long to hear you await the power of your glory. For the last sound on earth shall be the first sound in paradise. Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Took the city.
Hey man, you got another hat in your truck? It's sunny out here. Oh no, I gave all my hats away. It seems like they were hurting my brow. Oh darn, can you run in there and get me another cup of coffee, please? Hey man, you just finished your cup of coffee. Yeah, I know, I want one more though. What are those guys talking about? I don't know. He said something about a hat. Oh, gosh. I wish I had a hat. Yeah, why don't you run in and get me a coffee, and I'll go get you a hat at the thrift store.
Excuse me.
Oh, man, I think those guys are going to get a thrift score, they said. Oh, they're going to get all those jazz records over there. Hey, why don't you get me a coffee? Give me extra motivation to go thrifting. Oh, that guy just said he was drifting across the street there at that coffee house. I don't know what to do. Hey, I think that guy said he's drifting. We might have to get out the boats. Oh, I don't know. Hey, I think that guy across the street at the coffee house says he's drifting. Drifting? He looks more like he's grifting. Ha ha, good one. Hey, those two guys across the street at the coffee house said that they're grifting or sifting. I couldn't make it out. Aw, dude, have another coffee. Hey, this is cool. They got brown napkins, so if you spill your coffee, nobody knows. Ha ha ha, good one. Hey, can you get a little more vanilla in my coffee? Yeah, I did get vanilla in your coffee, but they only had raspberry amaretto. Oh, I don't like that stuff. Hey, man, that guy just said he's into amaretto like my little sister. Ha ha ha, yeah, that's a good one. Is your little sister like coffee? Nah, she's only 4. She has to have half a cup. Hey, I think those two guys across the street just made fun of your little sister. Oh, man, after I have all this coffee, I'm gonna go mess them up. Oh, those guys had so much coffee over there. I think they're all messed up, if you know what I mean, in the pants area. Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 9:30 to midnight.
Yes, I need to get from New Orleans to Quebec.
What province is that in, do you know?
Quebec is in Quebec province.
Is that UK or?
That's Quebec.
I was wondering what the, you know, abbreviation was. Like Pennsylvania's PA, New York NY.
It's in Canada.
I'm aware of that. One moment. Okay, and what date is this for?
Tonight. Is there a night train?
That's what I'm looking for.
Thank you.
Yes, good morning. Could you tell me if there's a train, the quickest way to get from New Orleans to Quebec?
Quebec? Like Canada?
Right.
Well, let's see.
I was hoping to leave on the night train.
Okay,
now it's off to Toronto. Hold on just a minute. This is just one way, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's
Something like that, but we
don't have like evening train. The
only evening train we have goes toward Miami. Miami. Uh-huh. What city in Quebec?
Quebec City.
Okay. You hold on, please. I need to check something
else. On the night train?
Nothing.
It's gotta be a night train. Yes, good morning. Could you tell me if there's a train, the quickest way to get from New Orleans to Quebec?
Quebec? Like Canada?
Right.
Well, let's see.
I was hoping to leave on the night train.
Okay, now we'll go up to Toronto. Hold on just a minute.
It's got to be a night train.
What province is that in, do you know?
Quebec is in Quebec province.
That's Quebec or?
That's Quebec.
I was wondering what the, abbreviation was. Like, Pennsylvania's PA, New York NY.
It's in Canada.
I'm aware of that. Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
We have a train that departs daily at 7:05 from New Orleans. You have to go up through around, we could get as far as, like, Toronto. Something like that, but we don't have, like, evening trains. The only evening train we have goes toward Miami.
Miami.
Uh-huh. What city is it in Quebec?
Quebec City. On the night train. What train can I get out of New Orleans tonight?
It's just one way, right? Okay, and what date is this for?
Tonight.
Nothing.
Thank you. Well, they blew up the chicken man in Philly last night. Now they blew up his house too. Down on the boardwalk, they're getting ready for a fight. Gonna see what them racket boys can do. Now there's trouble busting in from out of state, and the DA can't get no relief. Gonna be a rumble out on the promenade, and the gambling commission's hanging on by the skin of its teeth. Well, now everything dies, baby, that's a fact. Maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, fix your hair pretty, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City. Well, I got a job and tried to put my money away, but I got debts that no honest man can pay. So I drew what I had from the Central Trust, and I bought us two tickets on that Coast City bus. Now, baby, everything dies, maybe that's a bet. But maybe everything that dies someday comes back. Put your makeup on, put your hair up, baby, and meet me tonight in Atlantic City. Baby, that's a fact. But maybe everything that dies someday comes back. I've been looking for a job, but it's hard to find. Down here it's just winners and losers, and don't get caught on the wrong side of that line. Well, I'm tired of coming out